Welcome to the Calyrex Game Corner's Pokemon D&D campaign, featuring Cindy, a hot-headed teen with a penchant for arson, Gimli, an admirable father seeking to reunite his family, Elodie, a fun-loving baker with a whimsical heart, and Schmidt, a courageous young man searching for his purpose with a duck. Together, they make the Quacko Paco, and this is Dunsparce and Drampa. Where last we left the Paco, the gang was concluding a relaxing evening at the island city of Mossdeep when they noticed an unusual business deal happening behind the recently visited Rite of Learning. The Paco deducted that Team Neo Rocket Galactic was obtaining raw infinity energy from the research laboratory, likely for nefarious purposes. Schmidt was stealthy enough where he somehow convinced the admin Semele that he was in fact a grunt who had stayed out too late past break curfew. Schmidt assumed the role of an energy grunt named Nick and snuck aboard an energy vessel through a cargo portal, where he met other grunts, Alicia and Ryan, who seemed to be enjoying some downtime between missions. The Paco sans Schmidt engaged with Semele, resulting in her unlocking a vile new power within her partner, squid-like Pokemon Malamar. It massively increased in size and transformed into a grotesque floating evil abomination, with lashing tentacles whipping in all directions while floating into the sky. The Paco concluded that this power must be derived from the research NRG has been doing surrounding the mysterious plates, the Atlas Stone, and the Aspects. This monster, the Corruption of Malice, assaulted Elodie, Cindy, and Gimli. At about the same time the Malamar transformed, a voice rang out in the vessel that Schmidt was spying in over a loudspeaker, the voice of previously missing companion Symmetra Redtree, announcing that the lunar demolition mission would have to begin over 12 hours ahead of schedule. Elodie, Cindy, Gimli, and Schmidt, I'm going to have you re-roll initiative just for spice and freshness, and this is a new session. However, I will keep the bad guys at the bottom of the order still, so please roll those d20s and add your dex mod.
18.
Okay.
13.
Okay.
Natural one, baby.
Go to behavior.
I have given you a map, just as a brief rundown. It's like the northwestern corner of Mossdeep City. There you can see in the far northwest corner, northeastern corner of Mossdeep City. In the far northeast, you see the Space Center. Directly south of it, Mr. Mimosa's. Directly west of it, at a lower elevation, under some cliffs, is the Rite of Learning, and this area behind it, to the side of it, where you have encountered the Corruption of Malice. I've labeled G for Gimli, Sem for Semele, E for Elodie, C for Cindy. Some other details, you see some residences, the gym, where the beach is, where the hotel is, etc. Without further ado, Cindy is up first. You have been freed from the mental restraints that the Corruption of Malice has imposed on you, and this monster is also currently paralyzed thanks to a dragon breath from Fang. What will you do on your turn? You have two actions.
And Fang is, I believe, the only one out currently.
I believe that is correct.
Cool. And Gimli is grappling Semele, so attacking Semele while Gimli is grappling her is probably not ideal.
A melee attack against her would have advantage. A ranged attack would be at disadvantage and may implicate Gimli as well.
Oh, so we could go for a crunch?
Yeah, you could just crunch Semele.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do a crunch on Semele.
Okay, you will have to like loop around this flying monster and will provoke attack of opportunity. Do you accept the terms and conditions?
Is it loop it like I guess where was Fang
using dragon breath at Cindy's location in front of the monster, and Semele is like behind to the side?
Okay, then maybe not. Then I don't want that, because I think a hit will like knock me out.
You're welcome to also like make checks. If you aren't sure like how to absorb the situation, you can roll like insight, investigation, perception, etc. And if I'm feeling generous, I will let that be a bonus action as well.
I'm afraid I'm gonna mess up.
Such
I guess
is the
I could
game.
Just attack the Malamar though.
You certainly
could
may
do a flamethrower.
Sure.
All right. So that is a DC 18 dex save.
Cool. This monstrous Malamar will roll and will, in fact, get a 9.
Cool. That is a fail by 5 or more, but it's already paralyzed, so it can't get burned?
That is correct.
Is that how we do things?
Yes, okay. Those conditions do not stack.
Okay.
So roll neutral damage, please.
I got a 10, right? And I have the, if it's fire moves,
yeah.
I get the... Hell yeah.
You get your exploding dice. We call it something. Chain combustion something. I forget.
Combustion chain reaction.
Yes.
But we buffed it to Pokemon level 13 or higher if it's fire type damage.
Correct.
I'm not limited.
Correct.
32.
32 points of fire type damage. Pretty good. Yes. Fane unleashes a torrent of flame from its maw. It connects directly with just like the chest of this giant squid monster, and it seems to deal some damage. Pretty good. Cindy, you have one more action that you can spend. What would you like to do?
Maybe you could do a vibe check on the tentacle monster.
Sure. Are you trying to like understand its nature or like its intent or just study it? What skill do you want to use, basically?
I don't know. Information's better than no information.
Sure. I would let you choose between investigation, insight, arcana, or even religion.
Investigation is my highest. That's a plus 7.
Okay.
So, 13.
13. 13 is something. You feel like that there is something familiar about this form that this creature has taken. You've seen Malamar in its default state as a regular squid Pokemon, and you've seen other Pokemon undergo transformations similar to this, but this is like on a different level. This reminds you specifically of when you first encountered Toidle with a big syringe in its belly. As well as Diana out in the ocean. They increased in size a great amount, and there was a similar sense of fervor. However, there wasn't this like intense transformation and like acceleration of abilities. This is new to you. This is like, you know, you understand with your role that it's the same process, but it's been elevated somehow.
Okay. Cool.
Any bonus actions?
I don't think so.
Okay. Gimli, it's you. You're grappling Semele. How do you spend your turn? If Gimli does an action that is not attacking Semele or grappling, then the grapple will end, of course.
Yeah, of course. I want to try to knock her out, in a sense. I guess, like, unconscious, but I guess that would require me to, like, just knock her HP down.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to, in the grapple, I just want to, like, fucking headbutt her.
Sure. Yeah. Roll to hit.
Okay.
I'll give you advantage because she's grappled. She can't really dodge, just swivel her neck.
23?
Yeah, 23 will, in fact, hit. Damage roll. Let's say this is kind of something you're good at, but it's not a Pokemon attack, but it deals full damage unlike a Pokemon attack. It's also a headbutt. You rolled high enough to hit where I'm not going to give you recoil, but I think this attack does have recoil sometimes, so keep that in mind. I'm going to say what sounds fun. 2d12 plus proficiency plus... Yeah, just 2d12 plus proficiency. Let's do that.
25.
It's huge. Okay, great. Yeah. You reel back your neck and just smack it into her forehead. She seems pretty dazed. She's not as hardly built as you.
We're gonna keep ramming my head into her every turn until she just falls unconscious.
Yeah. She has an angry look on her face, clearly, and like she definitely her body is more frail than yours, we will just say. She's more of a thinker and less of a brawler. So significant damage for sure. You have an additional action.
Oh, sweet. Oh, yeah, because I get my Trevor actions. I already used Mountain's Call, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe that's correct.
Last encounter.
Yes.
So that is out. Malamar's too big for a sand tomb, probably. Yeah, the only targets are Semele and Malamar right now, right?
Currently correct.
And there was like, I guess I should probably have to roll some kind of like perception to see if noted there was a syringe in the last thing. Did we find that, or did you note it was similar in state?
I'll give you a bonus action just to roll a history.
Ooh, good thing I'm dumb as bricks. That's a 3. So
yeah, you aren't sure. All that you remember is that Semele kind of announced it, said like, behold the corruption of malice, but you don't know if that was actually the thing that triggered the transformation.
Right. How far away is the squid monster? It's in the sky, right?
It's beginning to float higher and higher, but it is about 20 or 15 feet to your right, and it's about 10 feet high right now, but it's slowly ascending.
It's ascending?
Yes.
How much HP would it cost to like try to box it in with the walls that I can make?
Ooh. Very good.
The earthen ramparts. So I can make 5-foot-thick walls from the ground to create a wall. Can I build it up over him to stop him?
Yes. So as of current, it would have to be 25 feet tall, and then it would have to cover just, you know, 5 feet across, 10 feet wide, and then down on all sides. So how does that math work? We're looking at a rectangle that is 25 feet on one side, 5 on the other, and 10 on the other. What's the area of that?
Area or surface area?
Sorry, surface area. Surface area. Or perimeter, so even.
20 by 5 by 10? Yes. You just said?
That would be the box that you'd need to make. 25 by 5 by 10. Math in my number rock game? Who would have thought?
Right. That's a lot of HP.
It's at least like 200 something, right?
No.
Oh, okay. How much does it cost per 5 feet?
Oh, wait, no, 25. Yeah, it is. Oh, no, it's way too much. Because it's, if it's cubic feet, because it's a little different now that it's like cubic.
Yeah, you're not making a wall, you're making a box, right?
Yeah, so that's a little harder.
Might exponentially more stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's too much health. And I only have Trevor out right now, because unfortunately I can't just like use Lasagna to drop Trevor on top of the squid monster to try to knock it down.
You could send out Lasagna if you make a successful dexterity check to maintain the grapple and send out Lasagna if you want.
Your
action doesn't have to go to Trevor. If you want Gimli to have two, that's fine.
The second headbutt. Headbutt round two.
I think in the spirit of a skill challenge, it would be a different action. But
for sure, yeah. For sure, we suplex her. It's fine.
Yeah, great.
Now, I think I want to, because of the size of it, I thought it was actually a lot bigger than what we, now that we described it. It's a little less menacing. But I want to attempt to try to, like, it's rising, so I want to attempt to knock it down potentially with a rock slide, if that's possible.
Yeah, Trevor can certainly attempt that. Again, do you want to sacrifice damage in favor of crowd control, or do you just kind of want to roll it and see where it lands?
No, I do want to sacrifice damage for crowd control.
Let's just see what kind of roll you get, and we'll see how it pans out. Or what kind of roll I get, because it's a dex save, right?
Right. It's a strength save, 19.
19 strength. They got a 14 strength, so I'll let you bring it back down to the ground.
Yeah, because normally it falls prone if it's 5 or greater, which it is technically here.
Yeah.
So, like, it just, I guess we would just treat it as a hard knockdown.
Yeah, absolutely. You said 19
strength?
Yeah, no
damage, but hard knockdown, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to let you roll half damage, too, actually. Because they're fucking, they're rocks, you know?
Yeah, like, they still do something. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Normally 27, we do half, so 13.
Great. 13 points of rock-type damage as Trevor summons rocks from the materials in his body to appear and drop above this monstrous Malamar, seemingly easily forcing it back into the ground. The kind of pointed tip at the lower end of its body almost like digs a small hole as like a crater and impact to where it lands. And it wobbles a little bit as it floats, and then it begins to try to ascend more. But of course, these are initiative turns. They are short. It'll take a while for it to ascend. But again, its tentacles are still whipping and lashing about just all over the place. Mm-hmm. Anything else for Gimli?
That would be it.
Okay. Schmidt, are you there?
I am.
Schmidt, you are aboard some sort of NRG vessel. You heard an announcement over the loudspeaker that this mission that was scheduled for tomorrow is starting now, and people and Pokemon are moving around you quickly, hustling. There's like kind of sirens going off. There's a lot of clamor and commotion, and you are about to step through the portal to join your friends. I know you're an RPG fan, and I've played a few as well, so I want to present to you, like, not like a... I don't know how to put this. This is a turning point moment. If you elect to go through this portal, the story will turn out differently than if you elect not to. So I want you to consider this decision on your turn. What will you do? There might be either way you go isn't right or wrong, but certain options may or may not be granted to Schmidt, if that makes sense.
Okay.
You're welcome to make rolls to inform your decision as well.
Yeah, no pressure.
No pressure at all. I was specifically thinking about Edelgard's Path and Fire Emblem Three Houses. Like, you go to that you go to the palace, and it's like, this, there's big text and it flashes, and it's like, your decision here will greatly impact the game. That's kind of what's going on here for Schmidt. His decision will greatly impact the game.
Okay. Are we doing Crimson Fall or are we doing Church Gang? I think Rich is the only one that gets that reference.
I do get
that. That is correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Again, you're welcome to make rolls.
I think Schmidt learned his lesson from trying to raid the Silphco Tower by himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he knows he failed that and he needs to be with his friends.
Understood. That decision is made.
So he's still going to step through the portal. Yeah.
Okay. As Schmidt steps through the portal, looking around, sees Alicia and Ryan kind of scrambling, getting their stuff. Lots of other people. Someone is taking all of these recently received Infinity Energy capsules and like moving them on a big cart. And he steps through. The way that he steps through is like he steps down into it and then the gravity shifts as he enters the portal. And then he like steps over because this portal is on the ground. They're both on the ground, but he's walking like the gravity flips basically as he goes through. So he steps through and stands up. Immediately, like right as he leaves the portal, he feels a sensation of his last foot to go through, of like a whoosh, like kind of sound. And then as he immediately steps up through the portal, he can look over towards the east, and then whoosh, 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 three giant blimps appear in the sky through like a teleportation sequence or something. These are your classic three energy vessels. One of them Schmidt may have just been on, and right after he exits the portal, it closes behind him. He is currently standing behind a monstrous Malamar monster that he didn't know existed. He didn't see it in this form until just now. He sees Gimli grappling with an admin on the ground, and he sees Fang and Cindy and Elodie and whichever Pokemon Elodie has out. And behind Cindy and Elodie, he sees a lot of people. All those tourists who came in yesterday, a lot of them are just kind of watching in awe. It seems like on their faces, some of them think like this is like a festivity or like something to be enjoyed by a tourist. Some people are clearly scared and they don't think it's right. There's certainly some confusion within the populace on the other side of the cliff from where the Paco is standing. What will Schmidt do with the rest of his turn?
Schmidt, like as he steps through the portal, he's putting the lunch tokens in his pocket. Mm-hmm. And then he looks up and he sees the giant tentacle monster and he's like, oh god! And then he drops some of the lunch tokens.
Okay, very good. Is there any intention to dropping them or is that just flavor?
That's just flavor.
Very good.
Fuck. Okay. It is just big evil thing in the sky, right? Do I see my friends? Do I see that they've got the trainer on lockdown?
You do see your friends. You see that Gimli is grappling Semele, and Elodie and Cindy are standing alongside their Pokemon and apparently fighting.
Okay. I think Schmidt's just going to reposition this turn.
Okay. How is he going to do that?
He gives a little wave to his friends. And he's like, hey, I'm back. And then he sends out Pride the Dragonite.
Okay.
And then he's going to fly up with the intention of like flanking the tentacle monster, like to get above it.
Okay. Excellent, yeah. Sending out Pride will be one of your actions. You hop aboard, Pride flies into the sky above the monster, and it seems that it still is not aware of your presence. However, your party is aware of you. You have one more action. What are you doing?
Oh, I still have an action? Okay. How high was the thing in the air?
It was floating, but Gimli has recently pinned it where it is kind of standing, question mark. It doesn't have legs, but it is close to the ground, so it is just a good solid 20 feet up where you are. Not super high, but pretty high.
So I've flanked it already.
Yes.
Okay. Didn't think this part through. I guess we'll just Iron Head behind it.
Iron Head, the scary monster?
Yeah.
Okay. You do have tactical advantage, so you will automatically critical hit. Okay. Or is that just Quacko? Sorry. It's been a while.
That's a Schmidt passive.
Yeah, that's
Schmidt passive. All of his Pokemon can do that, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it'll be a crit. What was your question?
How does that work with Iron Head flinches?
Great question. It would normally activate. I'm going to say let's roll for the effect.
Okay. I got an 8 on the die.
Okay. That will not incorporate that. Additionally, even if you had gotten a flinch, it still has some legendary resistances remaining, so it probably would consume it there.
Okay. I guess I'm rolling that damage now.
Yes. So just maximum damage plus what you roll. Neutral damage.
49 points of steel type damage.
Not bad at all. Pride, the recently evolved Dragonite, strikes this monster from behind, dealing significant damage to its neck, question mark, its head, whatever is at the top of its grotesque body, and lands a good amount of steel-type damage. Any bonus actions that Schmidt can do?
Oh, fuck. I didn't count for choice band. Oh. That's on Dragonair. Hold on.
Good stuff. You lock into one move, and you get 50% more dice, right?
Was it 50% more dice?
Wasn't it? Because if the boosting items like Black Glasses, Twisted Spoon is like one more dice, question mark? Because the super effective is double. I think that's correct, right? Gamers, anyone remember? We're so organized.
I remember it was, well, I thought it was extra dice, but I didn't think it was 50% yeah, it was like, extra dice.
Right, yeah. Wise Glasses being one die is not the equivalent of 50% more dice.
Right.
Though, to be fair, choice items like be locking into a single move is actually way more costly than it is in like normal circumstances.
Yeah, totally.
So 50% seems fair.
That makes it easy to remember because it is just the game. You get a 50%.
It's just choice band, yeah.
Yeah, so... go for it. Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Is it rounded up or down?
We truncate pretty much everything.
Then that is 64 points of steel type damage.
Nice. A sizable hit. A good crit. It seems to, you know, deal... You can't see the extent of the damage compared to its overall health pool, but you know that this thing has been hurt. Now I will ask any additional bonus actions from Schmidt.
Yeah, I would like to evasive stance target the creature.
Okay. Dragonite will simply do that. That is a ripped off cunning action that Schmidt can do. Anything else?
Nope.
Elodie, you're up. Hello.
Hello.
What are you thinking? You're standing before a pretty scary situation. I will say that you and everyone else has acknowledged Schmidt's presence atop of pride above the monster. What's going on? What are you thinking?
Yeah. So before all of us went down, I was going to go for the police, but I think they might be aware of the situation by now. Okay. So my idea is thusly, there are people around. I don't want the people to get hurt or be under the effects of things that have happened to us. So I was thinking potentially I could misty terrain so that like people around don't suffer any like static conditions or anything. I don't know if what Malamar did to us last session counts as a status condition.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that might be some an idea for at least trying to not let anybody else get hurt.
Sure.
So I think I'll have Cabbage go for a misty terrain. So that is a 60 feet radius. And then I will have her just misty step to wherever to be around the largest amount of people to have that effect. Or I guess, no, I would have to do that first because it would emanate for her from her first, wouldn't it?
Yes. Misty terrain says centered on her location, right?
It says self.
Yeah. So she can't misty step without the terrain. So she could move.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Right? Is that what you're saying?
Right. Well, my question is, does it emanate from her or does like she place it down and then can move around within it?
It gets placed from her location.
Right. And then what I thought.
Yeah. Okay. So she can walk over to the people. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. You'll find that about 15, 20 feet south of where you are on a lower elevation in the road is kind of where all these people are gathered. So you want her to just kind of hop down the cliffs. That'll consume her full movement to get over towards the group of people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And then place down that misty terrain.
She does it. People are kind of excited. Some people understand what Elodie's going for, like as a protective measure. Some people are like, oh, this is another part of this fantastic show. Really cool effect. And then other people they've known what's been going on this whole time and they're like scrambling and trying to get to safety.
Okay.
Elodie
good.
Has...
They should be doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of them are getting the idea.
Right.
Elodie has another action.
Yes, with my other action, I will take out Mr. Salt, the Carbink.
Mr. Salt the Carbink, he arrives. He's just a little guy. He's floating.
He's a little guy.
He's got his little rocky, strangely kind of bunny ears, question mark. He's some sort of creature.
Yeah. He's like a bunny.
Yeah, he's like a salt bunny that floats strangely. he's here. Thank you so much, Mr. Salt. Any bonus actions for Elodie?
Yes, I would like to provide a Elodie's party time. I think I will give it to Gimli. It seems like he's got this on lock, but I can always help out.
Okay, and what size is that die?
A d8.
All right, you can add a d8 to anything. So if you so choose, after it has been rolled. Very good. Anything else for Elodie?
That will be it for me.
Okay. Let's go into an environmental turn, which includes the bad guys. All of you would have noticed by now that up towards the Space Center, three Zeppelins have appeared, three familiar Zeppelins. They appear to be the main Neo-Rocket Galactic vessels. One of them is larger than the other two. They've arrived over the Space Center, and at this moment, rope ladders spring from their underbellies and drop in various places. One directly in front of the Space Center, one like hovering near the rocket in like at the launch pad, and the other off to the side at the cliff that is to everyone's east, just like at a higher elevation of to where you are all at. And people are just spilling out. They're rushing out. There's a lot and a lot of grunts coming out of here. They're storming the building, essentially. Additionally, for an environmental turn, people are panicking, they're fleeing, and some people are too dense to understand what is going on. There is a familiar person riding atop a Pokemon that you've all met now. There is a man who you saw in Mr. Mimosa's riding aboard a Metagross. This one is a little bit different than Tate's. It is a silver color and has a gold cross on its face. It is floating with its arms tucked in, and it is hovering over to your location swiftly. It will arrive there in at the end of the next initiative round, I believe. Oh, yeah. The monster's got to do something, right? It's going to lash out its tentacles in every direction, smacking everything in its proximity, including Semele, subjecting everyone to a DC 19 dexterity save. Everyone and their Pokemon, including Schmidt and Pride, who are above it. As like an aura of whipping lashes strike out.
I failed both.
Okay. For Trevor and Gimli.
Yes.
Okay.
Cindy got a dirty 20.
Nice.
And Fang's Fang with the dex, 15. Not a passing, but still has good dex.
Okay.
Cabbage succeeded, but Elodie and Mr. Salt have failed.
Sorry, Cabbage is out of range. Cabbage will not.
Never mind. Okay, so I will relegate the second dice I rolled to
Mr. Salt. Choose.
So that would be, it was a natural 20, so I don't know if that changes anything.
That
with
does.
The numbers.
A crit will evade all damage.
Perfect. Good job, Mr. Saul. He's awesome.
Yeah, he's the best. How'd Pride and Schmidt do?
Schmidt passed, Pride failed.
Okay. I believe that's everyone accounted for. Oh, Semele. Checking. She passed. So we'll go from top to bottom. Pokemon that failed take 94 points of dark type damage as they are whipped with vicious tentacles. Humans that failed take 47 points of dark type damage, and Pokemon that passed, unless they crit, take 47 points of dark type damage. They are undodgeable in this close radius. And then humans that passed take 23 points of dark type damage. It seems like this monster, this creature, is something that is very, very dangerous to be very, very close to.
Elodie is down.
Elodie has been knocked out. She gets whipped with a tentacle across the face, and she loses consciousness.
Oh, shit.
Not so good.
Shit is getting real. That brings us to the top of initiative. Cindy, what are you doing?
Shit. Okay. Before Elodie got knocked out, I was going to ask, what are the ropes made out of?
I'll give you a rope? Bonus action to or, do...
Not ropes. The ladders. Are they rope ladders?
Yeah, I'll give you a bonus action investigation if you want to consume a bonus action to do that.
That's fine. I don't think I have many other bonus actions anyway. Is it investigation or?
Yes. Unless you can think of a better flavor, but I think that's the best flavor. It's nighttime.
Plus 7. Plus 7 is a dirty 20.
Okay, that's pretty good. You can see that the sides. Well, you can tell that in general it's made from some sort of high tech, like polyester maybe, or like some sort of corded rope. It seems very durable. Just it's far away, but like you've seen a lot of materials, I suppose. You made a good roll. And you can see that the handholds and footholds are made out of like a reinforced metal.
Is it flammable?
I guess there's only one way to find out. If your intention of that roll is to detect if it's flammable, you had a dirty 20, you said.
Mm-hmm.
You aren't certain if the material is flammable, but the people descending certainly are.
It's a bad day to be an NRG grunt.
Well, because I was like, if I could just stop them from climbing down safely by burning some rope things, that'd be a good goal. Okay.
So from
if I hop,
sorry,
if I hop on Fang, mm-hmm. how far can I fly? I have 40-foot fly.
You can fly 40 feet.
Okay, I mean, okay.
So, and what's the range of flamethrower again?
It's a 40-foot cone.
Cone. Okay. You are likely only going to be able to target the ladder that is closest to you in this turn.
That is very fair.
It's kind of triangulating the space center. Like, if you look at the map that I've drawn, right mm-hmm. at where the cliffs are is where one of the ladders is dropped. Right where the rocket is one of the ladders is dropped. And then on the far east side of the space center is where one of the ladders is. So only the closest is where you can get to.
That is fine. Because I'm no help. I would probably make Elodie's medical situation worse by doing a medicine check. So
okay.
I think this is the best use of my time. So I guess anyone caught in that 40-foot cone has to make a DC 18 deck save.
Yeah, I'm just going to do them as a group. I'm treating them as a mob.
Yeah, that's fair. And the rope, if it's flammable?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I'll roll for both. That out there. Yeah, so the folks, they got a 19.
And, okay, so they still take half damage.
And the rope has no bonuses, so it's going to get an 8.
The rope is burned.
Okay, the rope is burned. Great. Yeah, please roll fire-type damage. You can just tell me the number and I'll cut it in half because they're people. I know okay. Fire is fire, but
27 fire-type damage is the total. So I think it's quartered because it's halved because they passed.
Right. So
and then
yeah.
have because they're people.
And that's appropriate. That makes sense based on our calculations that we've been doing in this campaign. Yeah. Cindy hops. Are you on Fang? Or did you just send Fang?
Okay. I hopped on Fang.
Cindy hopped on Fang and rushed over, flew over to one of the blimps and singed the heck out of one of these ladders and the people descending it. A group of folks, perhaps 15 or so, experienced significant burns as they try to slide down the ladder. They're not like knocked out or something and they're not fully on fire, but they're smoldering and they're annoyed and they're having a bad time. Some of them employed the strategy of just holding onto the sides and trying not to catch their feet on the footholds, so they just slide down, and others are just kind of flailing about. One person rushes back up into the blimp, and the portions of the rope appear to be slowly losing their tension, slowly kind of beginning to ignite. They are clearly fire resistant, but it is not enough for Fane's flamethrower, and after some time, perhaps 12 or so seconds, this rope will probably burn. A couple folks at the bottom have fallen and are not doing very well. They have fallen quite a number of feet, and they are immobile on the ground.
Okay.
Cool. Very, very good Cindy giggle for injuring and perhaps killing some people. That's very good. What else? You have another action, because I gave you a bonus action investigation.
I thought my action was jumping on Fang and flying 40 feet.
I would consider that Cindy's movement. I didn't make you do okay. a check to get on Fang because he's your Pokemon, so I'll give you one more thing.
Oh.
Do you want to make a roll or have Fang? Well, Fang already did a thing. Send out another Pokemon. Those are your two options, really.
I don't know who I could send out right now because... Oh, I do have another flying fire type.
Who is it?
Larvastar, Volcarona.
Yeah, Volcarona does have wings. You are welcome to send out Volcarona into the sky if you wish.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, do it up. For the first time, it is revealed Larvastar, the beautiful Volcarona, emerges from Cindy's Pokeball and hovers in the sky next to Fang and Cindy as they are zipping around. And Larvastar is ready for instruction on the next turn. Moving on.
Sick.
Gimli, you acknowledge that Schmidt is here. You saw Elodie get whipped in the face and get knocked out. And you see that Schmidt is flying on Dragonite above the monster. You're still grappling Semele. What will you do? You know, I didn't make her roll to get out of the grapple, but that's on me. So that's fine.
since I am too dumb to realize what the monster's power channeling is from, Gimli's mm-hmm. just going to assume it's still Semele and we're trying to knock this bitch out. So we're just going to keep headbutting her.
Okay. You may do that. Roll to hit.
21.
Fantastic. Roll 2d12 plus your proficiency.
This time, 20 damage.
Yeah. Jeez, Gimli. Yeah, he's just fucking going for it.
Get knocked out, dude.
Yeah. Gimli pulls away from striking Semele with his big bald head, and she has a bit of a gash across her skull. Her hair is getting all dirty and bloody. She's not looking good, and she's kind of like growling a little bit. She's kind of snarling, but she has no choice but to take these headbutts. She's looking hurt. What else for Gimli?
It's lame, but I got to keep this tentacle creature grounded. So we're just going to try for that rock slide again. Will it affect Schmidt? Is he directly above it?
You can angle it enough where I'll give you a pass. I'll say that Schmidt isn't like right on top. I think he's slightly behind it.
Okay. Then we're going to go for that DC 19 strength just to keep the tentacle monster from rising.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm rolling. Sorry.
Yes, DC 19 strength.
Of course.
I was waiting for the pause. I'm like, I don't want to.
Yeah, no. That's good. That's good. 17. 17 is the save there.
Okay. So just a normal. Yeah, it does technically not fall prone, but we rolled it. So it's like it does push it down a bit, I guess. Right?
Yeah. We can say that it perhaps leans in a direction, we will say. Do you want to lean forwards or backwards?
What is the implication of those positions
flavor.
Mean
flavor
I'd say it leans forward. It's like, ah, now its back is exposed with Schmidt being above him. He
okay.
leans forward. I guess that counts as that, huh? It's like,
yeah.
A backstab.
It's already flanking, so just for flavor. Yeah, the rocks pummel, yeah. And it kind of like, it can't be driven any further into the ground, but it kind of leans towards Cindy or towards Elodie a little bit.
So the damage is 14.
Okay. Sizable. Again, not really showing any signs of like beating or anything. When it is struck at like an emergence point of one of its tentacle limbs, like the limb will kind of like go limp for a second, and then it'll just start whipping again. But you know, you're dealing damage. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Anything else for Gimli?
That is it.
Okay. Moving on. Schmidt. What are you doing? You're aboard Pride, and you are above and behind this monster.
Okay, I have a plan. I'm willing to use whatever, like, all of my action economy to do it.
Okay.
And even if I have to do it next turn, that's also fine.
Okay, let's hear it.
I want to send out Walter.
Okay.
I want Schmidt to pick up Walter and throw him in the direction of Elodie.
Mm-hmm.
And I want Walter to kind of grab Elodie and burrow underground with her a little bit so she's safe.
Okay. You can send out Walter and do the throw.
Mm-hmm.
But it will have to... That's two actions there. So anything else will have to be on the next turn.
Okay.
Okay.
I accept.
So you're going to send out Walter from where you are in the sky, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you just kind of like catch this big ass... snake creature in your hands, or do
just kind of like both arms just kind of overhead, just kind of like throw it down, but like tail first with Walter so he can like kind of drill and like stick in the ground and break his landing a little
bit. I will give you the notice that this provokes an attack of opportunity from the monster to Walter.
That's
specifically
fine.
Who's exiting the radius. Okay, rolling
That's
to hit
fine.
With a tentacle lash. 23 to hit.
No, it doesn't. Because Walter has runaway.
He
this
does.
Can never be targeted by attacks of opportunity.
That's fucking sick. I forgot about that. That's so cool.
I think that's the first
so
time
good,
it's come up.
Yeah, that's so awesome. Dedenspars is nimble enough where the tentacles lash out towards him, but he, while soaring through the sky, uses his little wings to navigate where he is flying as he's flying backwards so he can kind of see the threat from above. Have him make a dexterity to... see like how close to Elodie he can get.
Dirty 24.
Okay, excellent. He can land like right beside Elodie. He doesn't necessarily drill all the way underground, but he lands firmly and smoothly and does not take any damage, which is fantastic. Any bonus actions for Schmidt?
I'm guessing it's just with Pride himself, since Schmidt is riding it, but have Pride evasive stance the tentacle monster.
Fantastic. You may do that.
Just in case. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Schmidt. Elodie, what is Cabbage going to do anything in this moment?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What will Cabbage do?
So I was thinking Cabbage could Misty Step to Elodie and mm-hmm. heal her with Healing Kiss.
That is correct. That's totally something she can do. Have her roll the heal amount.
Okay. 7 plus 9, so that's 18. Back up to 18.
Okay. Pretty good. Elodie, you cool. are back up. Cabbage used an action.
Yes.
How does it work? I need to review my D&D rules. Have we ever ruled it this way, where the turn you are up, do you get an action? I want to say no.
I don't know if we've ever done that.
Okay. I know in Baldur's Gate they don't let you, but
right.
that's just my source of reference. I don't know. Is Elodie thinking about doing anything this turn? We could maybe reason something out. I think like a full-on thing is maybe a little much, but...
You're right. The only thing I was thinking of doing was sending out Key Lime.
Okay. Roll a dexterity check, because you just arose from unconsciousness and you have a few seconds to do this. So look in for a DC 15.
Cool. 17 on the dice.
Perfect. That will do. Elodie in her stupor, she wasn't knocked out for super long. She comes to, stands up, and sends out Key Lime, the Iron Valiant. Iron Valiant kind of pulls out swords from its limbs and forms like a double-bladed, almost Darth Maul-type, like scimitar-type weapon. And it looks like that they are ready for combat. You haven't seen Iron Valiant in combat before, so this is pretty exciting.
They're about to fuck shit up.
They sure are. Very good. And I think that's it for Elodie.
Yes. Can I free action pet Walter on the head?
Yeah, you can.
Perfect.
Roll a charisma.
11.
11. Yeah, Walter gives a little excited Dunsparce coo and is happy that you're all right.
All right.
Very sweet. Environmental turn. Here we are. People have a number of energy grunts have fully descended the ladders. There's a bunch gathering out in the launch pad, and there is a group beginning to break down a door with Pokemon that they have released. You see clearly, I'll name Pokemon that you've seen before in the campaign if I can remember them all. There is a Machamp that you know for sure is just punching at the doors, trying to break them down. There are mysterious Pokemon that you don't fully recognize that are like shooting projectiles and rocks into windows of the upper levels. And there's a Pokemon that looks like a large dragonfly that rushes into one of the recently opened windows. And on the cliff nearest to you all, there are lots of people in there sending out various Pokemon of all different shapes and sizes. And it looks like they are eyeing at the lot of you with intention. All of these trainers are coming from your east. Additionally, Steven Stone and his shiny Metagross have arrived. Steven will hop off of Metagross and immediately issue a command for a Meteor Mash into the monster. Rolling to hit. Does in fact hit. I'll get this damage once I end this, but a sizable punch from Metagross's arm connects into the Corruption of Malice. Dealing significant damage. The rope that Cindy lit aflame is seriously losing its tension. There's a dozen or so people still descending it, and then you see that Cindy can hear some shouting and clamoring, and it appears that after this person... Well, no. Roll a perception, Cindy, actually.
Perception. We're canonically bad at those. 10.
10. Yeah, she's not entirely sure what's going on. She knows that people have stopped descending from that ladder. And yeah, with the 10, you don't get any other information from there. Semele will finally attempt a grapple escape that's going to be contested, so I need a strength check from Gimli.
I crit.
Okay, she got a 14, which for her is a pretty good roll, but is not a crit. She will remain grappled. And what else? Yeah, the grunts are breaking into the space center. There's many of them descending from blimps. They're all starting to send out their Pokemon. And more people are starting to realize that, like, this isn't a normal or good thing. People who have flying and swimming Pokemon are starting to board them and leave. There's a few people who, like, may be debating if they want to, like, help out or participate. And among those two, coming up behind Elodie is none other than Archie and Maxie. They see what's going on, and they refuse to let another calamity befall Hoenn, and they will not take any actions, but they will in fact send out their trusty Sharpedo and Camerupt and prepare to engage in battle. A small floating shark with a vicious maw and a two-humped camel that you recognize from when you were at Mount Chimney. And I think I'm not forgetting anything for the environmental turn. Oh, okay. Of course, the big monster. It will not do a general full lash attack. In fact, it will produce two tentacle lashes that will whip out specifically to Elodie and Cabbage. They both need to make DC 22 dexterity saves.
Okay. I'm going to... Can I light screen the one onto myself with Carbink?
Yes, you may.
Before that happens? Okay, so that will just half the damage. Okay. I don't know if it's going to matter, because this is a lot. What am I making again? Sorry.
DC 22 dex save.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't think this is going to matter. Yeah, we both failed.
Okay. How much did you fail by?
Elodie got a 14... Or, sorry, wait. I didn't add the numbers. Elodie got an 18. Cabbage got a 6.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
This is not a good roll for you. The tentacles will whip out towards these two Pokemon in particular. And while that happens, I will give an opportunity attack to Key Lime. Just to give a slice. Just to see.
Ooh, baby. I would do a fairy type spirit blade.
Sure.
In misty terrain, so yep. Pixie Drive activates.
Yep.
So that's 6d10 plus 18.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
That's some serious damage.
That's a little bit of damage.
Yeah.
Let me get my d10s. That'll do 52 damage.
Ooh, very nice. You said that Carbink light screened the one heading towards Elodie, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Iron Valiant gives a cleave with their futuristic saber and actually slices one of the tentacles, just completely severs, and it lashes about on the ground. It seems that this Malamar monster takes like a significant reaction from this for the first time. It says, like, it's definitely taking damage. It would be saying ow if it had said anything. The other tentacle heading towards Cabbage is not intended for damage. Cabbage has actually significantly failed a grapple. The tentacle wraps around Cabbage's body, whirls her up, and pulls her back with incredible speed into the body of this Malamar monster. And Cabbage disappears from everyone's vision as it has been absorbed into Malamar.
Oh no.
I was literally thinking about that. I was like, I shouldn't have Cabbage out. I should put it away.
It is Cindy's turn.
Oh, fuck.
Fuck.
Okay. How close am I to other ladders?
You are within fly distance of any of the three ladders.
Okay. So Larvastar has a fly of 30 feet.
Okay.
Which is not as far as Fang's 40 feet.
Okay.
Can they still get into range of?
Larvastar can only get to the one that you're closest to right now and the one that's over by the cliffs, not the one that's in the launch pad.
Okay. So can I have both of my Pokemon move and do moves?
Yeah. Movement and attack. Yep.
Okay. Cool. So that's fine. I'm going to have... Larvastar get as close to the one not immediately where we are, the one that it can get to. It needs to be within 15-ish feet of it to use Fiery Dance.
Okay, yeah. Larvastar can, in fact, do that. Is that a roll to hit or is that a save?
It's a DC 14 dex save.
Okay. The people as a unit and the ladder will both make that save. The people get a 19. The ladder gets a 22. Pretty good rolls.
Oh.
No.
The ladder is a bonus?
It doesn't. I gave them the person bonus. The ladder gets a 20.
Okay. So the ladder takes no damage.
It's a crit. I'm going to say it gets singed, but.
Okay. So they still pass.
Yes.
22 damage.
Okay.
So that would be quartered.
Yeah.
Because they passed and.
Yeah. Checks out. Enough fire to definitely disturb, kind of rush some people. A couple of the ones towards the bottom will fall, get some owies. They've been descending for a little bit longer, so no one's going to get like seriously hurt. But Volcarona performs a beautiful dance and little powdery spores of flame appear and flit about and pound into the people and the ladder. The ladder gets a little singed. It doesn't look like it's particularly burning at this moment, but it may after a few turns. And this slows the descent of some people. And then Fane as well, I'm assuming a flamethrower.
So we're going to fly to the other ladder because this ladder is cooked.
Right.
So we're flying to the other ladder and doing a flamethrower. So that is a DC 18 dex save.
Okay. That's a 7. Very, very powerful.
So the people are burned.
Okay. And the ladder gets a 13. So pretty successful flamethrower.
Okay. So it's, the ladder is not burned, but
it's on fire.
3d10. 17.
Okay. Very good.
So it's half for the people because they failed.
Yeah, absolutely. You ignite the ladders. The folks who are descending this ladder that's at the launch pad may have different duties, may have different responsibilities compared to the other folks. And when Fang goes to ignite this ladder, there are some grunts that are like carrying some materials. And one of the grunts who gets it particularly bad, gets the flamethrower pretty bad, was actually carrying a canister of some sort of fuel, perhaps rocket fuel. And in fact, it ignites and explodes. I will have Cindy roll 12d12 for a big fireball that she just made.
Can I re-roll the 112 I got for the extra?
It's not Cindy's Pokemon doing it, unfortunately.
I figured I'd ask.
Yeah,
75.
Yeah, boom. Everyone's eyes turn as there's a big explosion over by the launch pad. There's some serious damage. So there's definitely some deceased people for sure. The ladder fully immolates, and the blimp itself also seems to careen a bit and rock. It is at this moment where I ask Cindy to roll a perception check.
Sorry. Nat 20.
Nat 20. Yeah. A couple things. Cindy can peer like directly like into the port where these folks are descending from. She has like really clear vision. She can see all. She can see people freaking out and panicking, and someone even grabs a fire extinguisher. She also sees that when this explosion like clouds up towards the blimp itself, there's some sort of like energy barrier that stabilizes the ship from like it completely turning over, but that barrier itself seems to have like been impacted by this explosion. The people down at the ground are like screaming, and then there's someone down there who is ordering them like, we have something to do, let's get this taken care of, don't worry about it. And they're trying to not be distracted from the bomb that Cindy has created out of rocket fuel. Anything else for Cindy? Sorry, what was that, Elodie?
They may have an eldritch monster, but we have a Cindy, so.
A Cindy on a fire-breathing dragon.
Yeah, she's the real eldritch monster.
Yeah. I'm so sorry.
No, apologize. That's all I can do. Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Cindy. A very Cindy turn, if I may say so. Yeah, very good. It seems that, you know, while there are many, many grunts on the ground now, the descent of them have certainly slowed ever since Cindy started this mission of igniting the ladders. The first ladder that she ignited has like fully detached from the blimp. However, a brand new one is rolled out and people begin to descend it. And they will, some will in fact descend it at when their turn arrives. Gimli, you're still holding down. Semele, what are you going to do?
You know the drill, Chief. All right.
Headbutt. Sorry.
We're headbutting. This time, 24.
Okay. I will need damage. Please roll your damage.
Of course. This time, 19 damage.
Okay. Semele is looking kind of beat up. You might have chipped one of her teeth with your big bald head. She is still has consciousness. She's hanging in there just a little bit. And she kind of spits some blood, not necessarily at you, but just kind of like, you know, she turns her head just because she's got to get it out of there. She is pretty beat up, and you can feel that her resistance against you is starting to wane a little bit. What else for Gimli?
Again, got to rinse and repeat. Okay. We still got a couple rock slides, so I will go for the rock slide fall again to keep this tentacle monster from rising.
Okay, you do that. Making the save. They get a crit. They will, in fact, negate all damage there. Lucky crit.
Okay.
Anything else for Gimli? I know that is a little disappointing. I'd like to give you a bonus ability check, if you wish.
I don't know. I think I'm doing my job just fine. I I really want to know if this monster has some vulnerabilities, because I'm so damn convinced that like it's so similar to what I've seen before.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely want to see if there's like some source of its power.
Oh yeah, you want to know like what is causing this transformation?
Yeah. Yeah. Right, is there a place I can? Yeah.
Investigation, maybe nature, arcana, I think are your best bets here.
Okay. Is any of them like they're all int, right?
Yeah, I think they're all int. I'm curious if you have any bonuses on them.
I don't.
Okay.
So with that, since it's an in check, I got a 14.
Okay. You rolled enough to know that whatever it is, it's not like there's nothing visible. There's no, unlike before, there's no syringe, there's no patch. There certainly is some sort of mechanism, but whatever it is not like present. As Elodie or Cindy, whoever I may do a roll on it before, this transformation is akin to the same things that NRG has been doing, but it's like on a new level, on like a profound level where it feels like there is like a divine element to it, if that makes sense. Like this is a sort of ascension rather than just like a purely scientific transformation, if that makes sense. Does that work?
Yeah.
Anything else for Gimli?
No, that is it.
Okay. Doing his job, holding down the bad guy.
Yes, sir.
And for those who want to know, the Metagross Meteor Mash did 50 points of damage to the Cthulhu creature. Okay. Schmidt, it's you.
Okay. We are on Operation Rescue Cabbage right now.
Okay.
Can I see Cabbage? Can I make any sort of like perception or investigation check to see if I know what the fuck happened, where it is?
So it's a little tricky because you're like, well, you were above it. From what you can tell, Cabbage has been absorbed in this creature's body and like is gone. You do not know where Cabbage is.
Okay.
You could try and get in there and find out. But as far as like if it is at all possible to detect Cabbage, it is. I'm not going to make you do it because I'm not sure what kind of role you could do to find out where Cabbage is.
I've done stupider shit. Yeah, Schmidt is going to jump off Pride and just jump in there.
Just get in the darkness.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Schmidt is going to jump off of Pride's back and just fall into like the murky black body that is this monster. I will request an intelligence save from Schmidt.
Is Schmidt smart? He's okay. Dirty 20, actually.
Dirty 20. Interesting. So, okay, I should have prefaced this differently. We will treat this as a good roll. I intended to be the better you did on intelligence save, the worse outcome, but I didn't tell you that, so that's not fair. Schmidt will descend, and as he kind of connects, like his head fully drops into this general kind of body, like it seems like this creature is emanating a darkness that Schmidt has fallen inside of. He feels his body like slow motion, and he like is in a shadowy darkness, and he hears like voices and sounds and murmurs and screams and roars just coming from all directions around his head, and it is quite disorienting, and he simply feels like he is floating within a void. And you are now looking for Cabbage, correct?
Yes.
Okay, I will now give you perception or investigation.
Okay, I'll do a perception. Okay, that was a six.
Six, okay. You get the feeling Cabbage might be in here, you're not sure, but there's just a swirly blackness, a little bit of purple, and it's incredibly disorienting in this space, and you are not entirely sure what is going on or how long you've even been here. Your brain is kind of feeling like if you did not make that save so well, you might be feeling a little scrambled, a little disoriented. Perhaps Cabbage is in this void, but you are not sure.
Okay.
That will probably be it. No, you moved, you jumped, so you got...
Yeah.
I'll give you some actions.
Is it possible? I don't think we've done this before, except for at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible I could let Elodie take control of Walter since he's right there?
Sure. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
If you want to donate that action to Elodie, that's fine.
Yeah. Oh, I just meant like in general, like Walter moves as a part of Elodie's unit.
Yeah, and that we'll say that doesn't necessarily cost her anything either.
Okay.
Cool.
I will DM you Walter's sheet.
Grazie.
Pretty fun. Certain bonuses that are exclusive to Schmidt won't happen with Walter if Schmidt's not giving instructions, just so that's clear.
Fair. Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
I think that's all I got going on right now.
Okay. Anything else?
Can pride take an action if Schmidt's not there?
Yes, it may. Thresholds will be slightly harder, but can definitely do it.
Or it's just going to iron head since we're still locked.
Okay, what is your bonus to hit on that?
Bonus to hit, 10.
10. It's just going to be 9 at this moment.
Just 9? Okay.
Not a huge nerf for right now.
Okay, that's still a dirty 24.
Yeah, that does hit. That's good. This is not a crit because Schmidt is not here giving this instruction.
Yep. Just regular
choice band iron head.
Is pride still flanking?
Yes, but it's without Schmidt, right?
Right, but with flanking you still get advantage.
Oh, you
on.
Do you do, you're right, apologies. Yeah.
I just thought I'd roll it just in case, just to see. I rolled worse. Okay. Just to see if we got a crit.
No, that's totally valid.
30 even steel type damage.
Okay. Yeah, a sizable hit. It seems like this thing is finally like starting to recognizably take some damage after all of this onslaught that it's had. Pretty significant stuff going on. Anything else?
Nope.
Okay. Elodie, it's back to you. Iron Valiant's here. Your beloved starter is absorbed. His cabbage is gone. And Mr. Salt is here as well as Walter. So what are your thoughts?
Hello, Walter. Moment?
Hello, Walter.
Okay. Things are scary. So obviously I don't know like what is going on with Cabbage. I don't know if Cabbage knows what's going on with Cabbage.
That's true.
I'm just saying it would be really funny if an ancestral fey magic was procced. I'm just saying it could be really bad. It could be really good.
Yeah.
We don't know.
So here's a thing.
Okay. If it's not possible, that's understandable.
I was going to have Cabbage make a wisdom save at the end of her turn, but you could make it now and then see if that if it's, let's say, 16 or higher. And Aroma Veil does not apply here. Have Cabbage make a DC 16 wisdom save.
No dice.
You have dice. What are you talking about? Okay.
I do. That's an 11.
Okay. Just without too much metagaming, Cabbage is suspended in some sort of void and her thoughts and vision are entirely foggy and she doesn't know what's going on and it feels like time is in slow motion. Cannot get a grasp of her brain. What else will Elodie do?
Understandable. So I was thinking, so we can have like the same Pokemon move twice if it's taking up both of our actions, right?
What do you mean move? Like use attacks?
Use, yes.
No.
No, okay.
So it's unless never they mind. Have a feature that's like multi-attack or something, they get
no. I was going to call Mind and then Spirit Blade with Iron Valiant, but
understood.
Those are both actions.
Correct. So, trainers are built a little different. Even. As long as the actions are different, trainers can do them, but Pokemon in your action economy can do one action.
Makes sense to me. Having Calm Mind would be really good up against this guy. Yeah, because I lost 1 minute, so getting multiple calm-minded spirit blades would be epic poggers. I will go ahead and calm mind. Let me look at Walter real quick.
Oh, I forgot about Sticky Barb.
I see it on there. I don't know what it does.
It takes damage at the end of every turn.
Ah, I understand. Would you like me to do something about that?
It synergizes with rage, because rage, you have to take damage at the end of every turn to keep it up.
Oh,
deal
yeah.
or take. Deal or take.
Is it deal or take?
It's deal or take.
Yeah, it's deal or take.
Yes.
Which sometimes you don't always deal damage, okay. So it's like security, you know?
Right, yeah. Like, that's still good, right? Because even if you're not dealing damage, like if you're doing something with your Pokemon.
And Sticky Barb gets transferred if someone makes contact with Walter.
Gotcha. Okay. I think it would be really cool if Walter did enter a fit of rage.
Okay.
So we're taking this turn to set up.
Do you just because this is a funny flavor situation? Do you have any flavor for how you instruct that?
I just imagine Elodie just yelling, "Walter, rage!"
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. That's awesome. Yeah, Walter gets real angry and goes "Wah!" and wiggles its body around, and it's got a fervor in its eyes now. Very good.
Awesome. All I have left is a bonus action. I was going to send my party time to Schmidt. I don't think that's possible anymore. So I will send it to Cindy instead.
Okay.
So that's a D8. You may use how you please.
Very good. Use it for anything you like.
Excellent.
Anything else, Riley?
That will be my turn.
Okay.
That will be all.
Is rage? You see, party time. Ooh. I feel like you have more, right? Because rage is a bonus action, right?
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Right, Squids?
No.
It's not?
It's just
regular. It doesn't say.
Does it deal damage?
No, it's just a stance, I think.
We got to change that. Rage is like always a bonus action.
Oh.
I'm sorry. That's on me. It should be a bonus action. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Gotcha. I'm
just going to add bonus action at the end of the last
please.
Sentence.
Yeah, please fix that.
So I can have Welter attack this turn then?
Go for it.
Okay, so he's got a Hurricane and Hyper Drill. Hurricane is AoE, so that's probably... There's Pokemon people around Malamar, right?
Yes.
Or pretty close range. Thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Then that's a Hyper Drill then. So that's plus 9 to hit.
Okay.
23?
23 does infect it. You may roll damage.
Okay, that'll do 41 damage.
Okay, a huge hit. Really good stuff. Welter drills his tail drill into the body of this monster, dealing a pretty good amount of damage. As it, like, twirls in there, just black ichor just kind of, like, spills out, just and, like, goes in every direction to the tail, and Welter drops back down to the ground, and it seems like this creature is finally visibly taking some damage. Schmidt in the void, roll a perception check.
Okay.
Also, how much do I take from Sticky Barb just so I can keep track of it for Welter?
Oh, I don't think we wrote that down ever.
I think it should be equal to your proficiency bonus.
Okay. Gotcha. Thank you.
That is a 10.
Okay. You
famously bad at these perception checks.
It's just how it goes with the Paco. There's like a disturbance in this body. There's like a weird rumbling and you aren't sure what's going on. But it is somehow metagame sense related to this hyper drill. Very odd. Very good. Anything else for Elodie?
That is all.
Okay. Very good. Environmental turn. Plus bad guys, plus good guys. Metagross is going to go for a punch. I'm going to whiff. We'll say that it swings a Meteor Mash and then one of the tentacles kind of grabs the arm and throws it to the ground. And the shiny Metagross will not get an attack off. Steven is going to kind of like stand next to Elodie because she looks clearly injured and is going to be like ready to protect her potentially. Semele is going to attempt to break out of the grapple, probably her last chance to do so based on her HP. So contested grapple check, please. She got an 18. That's pretty good.
I get a dirty 20.
Okay. Once again, Gimli keeping her pinned down. So it goes. At this point, the new ladder unfurls from the blimp that is closest to you all. Grunt Pokemon are beginning to rush down the cliff. Among them, a large bipedal horned rock monster is charging with its horn spinning towards the lot of you. There is a large bug Pokemon that flies like a mantis that has scythes for arms that is slashing trees down to get towards you. There are various lion and wolf Pokemon also charging in your direction. Some of them might Tiana, some of them ones you don't recognize. One of them a Manectric that you recognize from Watson's gym. Just a horde, just a whole group coming towards this combat. Additionally, over at the Space Center, the break-in has clearly succeeded. The lights have been turned on. There's just general commotion and loudness and chaos. And you hear a whir of machinery over towards the launch pad, just a steady just kind of coming to life as all the lights flash on and it becomes super bright in this area. Clearly, something is beginning to go underway at the Space Center. I will have Camerupt and Sharpedo roll some attacks. I need to get my die real quick. Camerupt unleashes a torrent of flame with a flamethrower, and it does in fact hit. We'll be dealing just 33 points of damage. Still pretty good, though. Sharpedo is going to go for a liquidation, try and smack it around with a series of water-type attacks. Does not hit. Will in fact be repulsed by a protective field around Malamar's body. And Malamar, the Corruption of Malice, will spend its turn actually committing its entire turn to movement. It's going to start hovering directly to the east, moving swiftly towards the Space Center, more specifically over the fences that lead into the launch pad area where the explosion recently detonated. Malamar is going to take opportunity attacks from like freaking everything. Metagross, Trevor, Iron Valiant, Mr. Saul, Welter, and Pride all get to attack. For free. All these Pokemon will prepare to attack as a new wall of Pokemon of these Grunts Pokemon are rushing towards the Paco's position. Finally, and lastly for the session, as all of this chaos is beginning to happen and this monster is using all of its energy to move towards the space shuttle, there's a deep rumbling kind of far from the north. And you see maybe 20, 30, 40 miles out, you hear an out of nowhere a lightning clap just off in the distance with not any clouds in the sky. And that is where we will end the session. Hello, and thank you so much for listening to Dunsparce and Drampa. Extra special thank you to our latest patrons. They are Lost Zealous, David the Greatest Artificer, aka Electrician, Chris, and Ryan1029. We're very grateful that we didn't have to take like a whole several month break at the end of the year this year. However, we will be taking a couple of weeks and we'll be back on episode 100 on January 7th. We will be dropping a special treat for the patrons over the holidays, so if you haven't become a patron yet, now might be a good time if you would like to get access to that before anyone else. Thank you to everyone for nearly 100 episodes worth of support, and we can't wait to see you on January 7th. Notably, I associate them with like eldritch monsters because they usually have tentacles. But
and you know what, Richie? Sometimes you call the bad guys baddies, and yeah. That can have two like
baddies
is like a classic TTRPG nomenclature. That is not.
I don't know.
That is not distinct to me.
It's a little
okay.
I don't know. I've had a few DMs. You're the only one who's called them baddies.
Is that true?
You know
the actions of my consequences.
Yeah,
all cops are boyfriends.
Oh my god, you could date Looker.
Wait.
You could date Looker because we just established detectives are cops.
Yeah, it's true.
You're allowed to do it.
Yeah.
He's kind of a looker.
Is there a cop dating site?
Would you say he's kind of a looker?
I just said that, but quieter, and then you said it louder, Richie. You stole my fucking
white man behavior.
For Kira. Good job, Kira. Nice job.
Cop dating site.
No, not
why is
a
cop
dating
site elite singles?
DC 16, Wisma, Wisma, Wisdom,
Wisma,
Wisma. It's like Wismer, but
Wisma.
Cool.
These nuts.
Yeah, dude.
Okay.